Our opening prayer that we have at Mass this week, also known as the Collect generally, is a wonderful prayer that really beautifully combines with all of the readings we have this Sunday, and it gives kind of the sweep of what our Christian life is really meant to be about, a trajectory and a goal for it and what matters in it. It's part of the genius of the Roman Rite, the way we celebrate Mass, to have, even in these very short phrases, very compact prayer, so many riches buried there. Now, probably you don't have it memorized from just having heard it once, so let me again share with you what that prayer says that we started Mass with. You did say amen, so you kind of signed up for it. So here's what the prayer says. Almighty ever-living God, constantly accomplish the paschal mystery within us, that those who are pleased to make new and holy baptism may under your protective care bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. It's a beautiful and powerful prayer that really gives light into all of our readings today, and our readings help unpack this dense and powerful prayer. I would recommend, that could be a beautiful spiritual practice to take Sunday, the opening prayer of Mass for every Sunday, and keep that with you during the week. Let the prayer of the church that we've entered into guide you and inform you in that week, to instruct you in what to hope for and desire and how to live. So let me unpack what this prayer is saying so we can enter into it and live it out more beautifully. The first part of the prayer, not in maybe the order that it's said, but maybe more chronologically, is the fact that we are made new in baptism. We are those who have been made new in baptism. And how important for us to really always remember that and treasure that reality. Baptism is the way that we are the branches that have been grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. It is that way, beyond ourselves, beyond our power and capacities, God at work in our baptism to really graft us to the vine of Jesus Christ. And it is through that baptism as a vine connect, as a branch connected to a vine, that Jesus then becomes the source of life for us. Not even for us individually, but also as the entire church. Jesus is that vine for all of us. He is, they talk about the capital grace. He is the head of the body of Christ, and through him, grace comes to the church. And so the first point is really to treasure and to have confidence in that great gift of baptism we've been given, because many beautiful things unfold from that if we abide and follow our Lord into that baptismal life we've received. And then the second point in the prayer, it asks that God the Father would constantly accomplish the paschal mystery within us. We turn, Almighty ever-living God, constantly accomplish the paschal mystery within us. What does that mean? What? How do you make sense of that? Well, the first thing I would say is that what that prayer is asking for is what Jesus depicts in our beautiful John 15 as the Father, who is the vine grower. He is the vine dresser who prunes the fruitful branches so they may be even more fruitful. That pruning of the branches, that is the pruning of us, that is what it is in having the paschal mystery be constantly accomplished within us. Well, okay, wait, what's the paschal mystery, you might ask? The paschal mystery is this great work of redemption that Jesus Christ accomplished. It is accomplished then by his passion, his death, his resurrection and glorious ascension. And remember that the paschal mystery, that's at the heart of Mass every time we celebrate it. And so we're asking that somehow this great work of Jesus, his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, somehow that would be accomplished within us. So maybe you're still kind of wondering, okay, well, how does that work, Father Matt? Well, that's such a powerful reality. So important to see how Christ is being formed in us. Now, first of all, that happens simply by participating in the liturgy. just as baptism is that objective God-given foundation for us to be branches to the vine, celebrating Mass is where we come into contact with the Paschal mystery again and again. As we remember what Jesus has done, the very reality of what he has done, his life, death, and resurrection is present here supernaturally as we celebrate it. It's not just us and the people up in the sanctuary, but Jesus, our high priest, who has gone through all this, is present. And he shares that dynamic reality of his Paschal mystery with us as we pray with him, as we praise with him, as we, also receive him in Holy Communion, as we're formed by the liturgy of the Word, all of these things, as we put up the homily, right? All these things are the way the Paschal mystery is being given to us and forming us. But then that drama of the Paschal mystery, it happens throughout our lives. It's replayed in our lives as we abide in Christ, as we remain with him, as we keep his commandments, as our second reading said, we enter into the death and resurrection of Jesus active in our lives. You see, throughout our life, there are moments of little deaths to choose or to accept in faith and hope and charity. These little challenges, these great sufferings that might come along, all these different realities, if we can see them with faith and endure them with hope and bear them with charity, these little deaths become moments where Christ is present in his own passion and death. But then also in our life, there's all kinds of little resurrections that happen. Moments of God's power being at work in our lives, maybe very evidently, maybe also just simply how he's renewing our hearts, helping us to grow interiorly in holiness, in that faith, hope, and charity. Maybe it's also that the power of God giving new life, where we thought that life was simply damaged or beyond repair or lost. And so this whole reality of death and resurrection of Jesus becomes the pattern of our life if we're willing to see it that way and to really understand it that way. And this can happen in all kinds of things in our lives, from, even the rhythm of the week that we have, that our Lord has given us, that the church proposes. You know, kind of the work week, and all of that, those days, in a certain sense, there's the passion, there's suffering, there's struggle, there's the travails of the week. And then we're meant to, on this Sunday, the Lord's Day, to taste the goodness of the Lord, the resurrection. And so every week is meant to have a certain rhythm of the Paschal mystery for us, if we really enter into that. But then in our vocations, and whatever that vocation is, and in married life, all kinds of little deaths are there. You might agree, maybe your marriage doesn't have anything like that, but I'd put a wager that it does. Those dying to self, those dying to preference, that serving where instead I'd much rather be served. All of those little deaths can be moments of the passion of Christ and his death at work in me, so that then this relationship, this marriage, my own life, can know the new risen life of Christ. They can be in other kinds of relationships as well, or the sufferings that we have in our lives, or even that just how we are serving. All of these can be moments where that death and resurrection of Jesus is at work, and that's really the Father pruning us so we can be then more fruitful. And so then we ask that with that being accomplished in us constantly, that we would then bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. How important that is. And how does that bearing of fruit come about? It's not just simply, I'm going to go do stuff. I need to do stuff. I need to be a certain way, like it just comes from me. No, conform to Christ, who told us in the gospel, without me, you can do nothing. Conform to Christ through that pruning the Father makes of us in his death and resurrection, that Paschal mystery, if we're open to that forming by God, then we can become more deeply channels of the Holy Spirit, who brings about real and abiding fruitfulness in our lives. We have our cooperation, but it really is the Holy Spirit that brings these fruits out from us and through us now. thinking about what are these fruits that we're talking about anyways. I think one point is really thinking about the fruits as in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In St. Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 5, he speaks about these fruits. And in some ways, these fruits are like a little taste of that eternal life God is preparing for us. And these fruits are these: charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, chastity. These are fruits that grow within us and from us by that working of the Holy Spirit if we're connected to that vine of Christ. And so these are beautiful and good things, and maybe they can work as a diagnostic for us. Like, if I am not experiencing these things in my life, maybe I need to be more deeply abiding in Jesus. Maybe I need to be more open to the pruning, that pruning of repentance and conversion the Father needs to make in my life, that I would be more fruitful. But also beyond these beautiful things, I think the fruits that Jesus speaks of are also these fruits, like we heard about in our first reading, the fruit of building up the church, of advancing the kingdom of God. You know, as it says in our second reading, you know, let us love not simply by word, but by deeds and by truth. And so there is an act of fruitfulness that we're called to have beyond simply our personal holiness. So in our first reading, it concludes by saying, the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord. And with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. That great growth, that being built up, that was part of the fruitfulness that God was calling them to and calls us to today. If those people had just been content with their own personal holiness, great, I got the Holy Spirit, I'll be kind and gentle and modest, you know, we wouldn't be here today. There had to be these deeds of love, of building the church and growing it. And the awesome thing is that the fruits that are kind of within us, these things like charity and joy and peace, patience, kindness, these kind of interior fruits are points of credibility for those exterior fruits of evangelization we are called to do. Those fruits of the Spirit in a person are attractive and compelling, so important in evangelization. As people see that, wow, this person, you know, their life is different and I want what they have. And so we can build up the church. We can advance the kingdom by our holiness. But our holiness is never just for ourselves. And then another thing, the gospel says this: by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. And so our bearing of fruit is a way that we either honor or dishonor the Father by the fruits we bear or by the lack of them. And so we do these things for the glory of God as well. And so this bear much fruit is not an optional reality. This reality of fruit and how compelling it can be, how it gives glory to the Father, the world is paying attention to that. Karl Rahner, a theologian in the 20th century, he once said, the number one cause of atheism is Christians, those who proclaim him with their mouths and deny him with their actions. This is what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. And so there's a great responsibility for fruitfulness. And then the final part of our opening prayer is that in the end, under God's protective care, we would come to the joys of eternal life. Maybe in a sense, you could think about if the Paschal mystery is being continuously, you know, active in our lives, being realized there, this final part, the ascension of being with the Father, is what this points to. That the horizon of my life is not the fickle possibilities of success and happiness in this world. That the horizon of my happiness is not just what I can accomplish, what I can grasp in this world, or what might break my way or not. But there is the joy of life eternal. There is a fulfillment, and yet ever new, that God is preparing for us. And this whole life, in a sense, is just the drop of a seed to the ground, preparing us for then the great growth and flowering and fruitfulness of life eternal that God wants for us. How important to keep that as our true horizon of faith and hope, and to be comforted and to be yearning for that. And this life eternal, it's not just kind of like that idea of a happy hunting ground. You know, eternal life is not just an optimization of this kind of worldly existence, except, you know, there I'll always hit a hole in one, or I'll knit the perfect blanket, or make a great souffle, or so whatever. You know, it's like eternal life is so much beyond that, categorically beyond these things of our life now. There's this great transformation. Last week we heard it in our second reading that in 1 John, we shall be like God, for we shall see him as he is. An utter and profound transformation of our existence. But one thing that will come with us from our existence here is the fruit that we bear. That fruit comes with us. Jesus told his disciples, you know, to build up treasure in heaven that cannot be stolen or moths cannot eat, that there are things in this life that will go with us, and it is the fruit that we bear in the Holy Spirit. If you go to the book of Revelation, where it reveals kind of the church in this life eternal, and this moment of the victory of the Lamb, and the church is depicted as the bride of the Lamb, she is dressed in this beautiful linen dress. And it says, the linen dress is the virtuous deeds of God's saints. That is what comes with us. And so, my brothers and sisters, I encourage us maybe to open up more deeply this incredible prayer that we started with, that you signed up for with an amen. You know, this is the incredible plan that God has for us and what our Christian existence means. And all of it under God's protective care, trusting in him. He's the beginning of it as well as the ultimate end of it. And then we have our beautiful part, meaningful part to play throughout. So again, our prayer. Almighty, ever-living God, constantly accomplish the paschal mystery within us, that those you are pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Amen.